You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Too Hot to Handle wrap-up. We are covering episodes 8 to 10 of season 2 of Too Hot to Handle. We did it. We're at the end. We're done. I'm your host, Kirsten McInnes, and I have another amazing panel today. I'm joined by, honestly, two of my closest friends in the world. Everyone who's come on has been a close friend, but it's fine. I'm going to say it. One of my besties, Jenny Autumn, is here. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great. I learned a new term through my experience in Too Hot to Handle. I thought I'd heard it all, but I found something that describes the feeling that I am feeling being able to podcast with the two of you. And it is emotional semi. That is what I feel.
I actually have an emotional full heart on because of this.
I mean, I'm just trying to play it cool, but I mean, like,
I too am emotionally aroused. I can't even wait. Okay. I can't even wait for my introduction. Like, I'm coming in premature.
That's right. You heard him. Premature. Chappelle is also here. Chappelle, how are you?
You thought I was going to last 20 seconds? Hell no. I'm here. Oh, I'm so happy.
It wasn't even our good podcast.
It wasn't even our good podcast hand. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Jenny. How are y'all?
I'm so excited.
I went from a semi to fully.
I'm done. The load is blown.
Unlike Nathan, I am a shower, not a grower. So I come in hot every time. We come straight out the gate.
Maybe it's for the best that Rob couldn't be here today.
I would just be like, I left hanging out with my children for this.
Yeah,
it's nonsense.
But you know what? Hopefully he's listening. Anyways, hi, Rob. So
miss you, Rob.
Miss you.
Love you, bae.
Okay, so Too Hot to Handle. Jenny, what are your thoughts on we haven't gotten your thoughts on the start of the season before we move into these last three episodes. Like how did you feel about the viewing experience of Too Hot to Handle?
So many things. I will say that I've been doing a lot of speaking out loud, thinking out loud while watching this. I've just been like, what? This? Her? Him? Like $3,000? You didn't even finish? Like, I'm constantly it's really been causing me to react a lot, like, and out loud, like, not like I'm not just having like brain thoughts in my like tiny little head. I'm spouting them out because I'm feeling so incredulous about so many things that I've experienced. I will say I've enjoyed this run through a lot more than I thought I would. I'm shouting at people, but at least they're making me feel something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it could be worse. I have an opinion on people. I'm remembering people to an extent, some of them, but I thought it was like a fun season. I think the last three episodes are like a little bit like, I don't know, touchy feely.
This could have been two episodes. This could have been two episodes.
This could have been an email. Okay.
You could have CC'd me on it and it would have been fine, but had fun with it. And honestly, like I said, like any opportunity to talk to the two of you on a podcast, like it could have been the worst casting ever. And I probably still would have been happy to do it. But I thought it was actually pretty fun. I couldn't believe. I mean, I know that they're going to cast people that are stupid and are making bad choices. And that's like what makes the show work. And like, obviously what this would be a stupid show if they made this premise and everyone just followed the rules. But it has me shouting every time being like, what? Why? That's not worth that. You know what you could buy with that? Like, that's a down payment on like a car or something.
See, I know. I like when they break the rules. I think that's why these last few episodes were not that entertaining, because there weren't like so many rule breaks. Chappelle, I know you did not watch season one of Too Hot to Handle. You only watched this because I told you the premise of the show. How mad at me are you about this?
Okay, I had a journey, I'm not gonna lie. I did only watch this because, I mean, I wanted to talk to you about it on the podcast. I was like, Kirsten tells me to watch something, I'm gonna watch it so I can talk to her. Cool. I get to talk to Jenny, even better.
Yeah.
This show stressed me out. I am a very interesting person. I can admit that. I'm a little weirdo. But like things like this, touchy-feely, like emotional ass shows, they make me feel uncomfortable. So like the beginning of the show, you tell me the premise is to not have sex and we win money. I'm like, bet. Cool, a competition. I can sink my teeth into this. But then you're like, oh, but she really likes him. I'm like, ooh, mess. Even more, something I could sink my teeth into that. Oh, yeah, well, she's making her jealous. They're fighting. I'm like, yes, yes, give me more. And like, I'm stressed out and they're losing money. And I'm watching all this money go away and I'm crying because the money's leaving. And I'm like sad because I have to watch these people catch feelings for each other. But then when they caught feelings for each other, I was like, what are we doing here? You know, like, I am very happy for you people. But for my television watching pleasure, the mess, the drama, the fighting, the cheating, the losing the money, that's why I came here. So yeah, to get to these last three episodes and it's like, oh, do you want to be my girlfriend? I want to be a boyfriend and meet my family. And I just want to, I was like, oh, I didn't come here for this. I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't do it for this reason. I don't want these things. Get back to crab grabs and, you know, rumpy pumpy. And then you got me. Okay. First three episodes had me hooked.
I don't want the rumpy pumpy. I mean, I just don't want that to be like a term I ever hear.
No,
again,
these super sexy super spreaders did not do this whole season for us to discount rumpy pumpy.
But the thing is the show did not invent rumpy pumpy. Rob and I Googled it. It's a real British slang.
But I am happy to live in my Canadian bubble where this is like one piece of culture that we haven't taken from the Brits. I don't need this in my life. I don't need to know that anyone has ever said this.
I'm going to start using the term rumpy pumpy.
You are not to me.
Unironically.
Yes, no, I'm only to you, Jenny. I'm going to text you.
Listen,
to Jenny Autumn. Yeah,
I've already had to deal with you guys saying the H word, you know, and hearing this like constantly on this show, and you know how I feel about it.
I gave a content warning at the start of the season on the podcast.
I appreciated the acknowledgement, but the problem, and here's the thing, I should clear this up from the jump. It's not like it upsets. Okay, people are very upset by like the word moist. Doesn't bother me.
Well, you have to give a content warning for that.
Okay, sorry.
Please don't swear on the podcast, Jenny.
Do we have a timestamp where we can add this in?
No.
Just fix it in post.
It's not like I have like a visceral reaction to the word horny. I have a problem with people using it earnestly. If you are using the word horny earnestly, like seriously, like you're texting someone saying like, oh my god, I'm so horny, I'm literally like, my emotional and physical semi anything is dead. Like, that is the worst thing you could possibly say, and these people are just tossing it around like this is the best descriptor of their feelings, and I hate
how do you feel about I know it's a very British thing to say when people say that they're feeling randy. How do you feel about
randy,
that?
Baby.
Well, first of all,
I can't randy accept it because randy knew
of randy Newpool. Okay,
I'm feeling Newpool, so I'm like, baby.
Yeah, like that is just so weird. That's extra weird.
A little Newpool play. Yeah,
you don't like Newpool play. Newpool play.
That's what they call it in British. It's in Britain.
Oh, no. Nipple play.
Yeah, get down with the nipple play.
Oh no. Okay.
Is that an androgynous zone?
Nipple.
that's an androgynous zone, yeah.
That is an androgynous zone.
The nipple play is straight play. To the androgynous zone.
Right.
I think we should talk about these last episodes because we've already gone off.
I will say,
but I think we can zoom through and then just like,
yeah, because a little bit. Like you said, it could have been two episodes. It could have been an email, but like, here's the thing is like to what Chappelle was saying about, you know, I'm here for the mess and, I don't like, you know, I don't really care about like the emotional part of it. Like I can get into the emotional part of some of these shows. I think the problem with it in this context is that I have zero faith in any of these couples or people in general. Like these people in general, in terms of like this stage of their life, I'm sorry, like being on a television show for 3 weeks, if it's even actually 3 weeks, is not going to fix your like shit behavior. That is like way more of a learning experience that you're going to have to work on. And I think maybe also just like after Love Island as well, like I'm just like, no, I mean, I was standing what's her face, Justine and Caleb, and they didn't last either. So I'm not standing these couples from these shows. They are like 22 and they haven't had the life experience to like learn from things. Obviously they're hooking up and like, you know, acting like they've like found love with each other for the purpose. This is me just being totally cynical now, like for the purpose of like the story of the show. And maybe they'll give it the old college try after the show ends. But like half of these people live on different continents. Like it's even more wild than like Love Island, where at least they're in the same country, like all of them usually. I just don't have any faith in these couples. So like, I can't get invested in their story. I just can't. I'm waiting to see how many Instagram posts they're going to have together. How many months are we going to get of this before the Notes app announcement that they've broken up? So you can't get me with the emotional stuff on this show because I truly don't believe it. I'm actually way more likely to be invested in a Big Brother couple because I do think that like spending 3 months 24/7 with a person is way more likely to
Stockholm syndrome.
create a lasting relationship. I mean, look at Christmas in Memphis. All right. It's a happy story.
It's pronounced Fismas, please.
I'm sorry.
Please respect their ship name.
Can I confess something to the two of you in a safe space here?
You stand Fismas?
No, absolutely not. The opposite of that.
Listen, nobody's listening. It's just us two. Just yeah, very honest.
We turned it off the recording.
When Marv and Melinda were on the yacht talking about their relationship and talking about their feelings for each other and agreeing to be official, I shed a tear. I cried watching the finale.
You fell right into that trap, Kirsten.
I'm telling you, this keeps happening because it's always too, like, specifically when there's like a like an amazing black couple on these shows, I'm always like, I'm buying in, like, love is real. Like, Justine and Caleb got me. But then Caleb is a effing rat bastard and was in a relationship the whole time.
And that's why I don't believe anymore. It's over.
And it gets me every time. Like, I still believe, like, until I get the Notes app breakup, I would jump in front of a train for Melinda and Marvin. Like, I can't help it. It does not hurt that Marvin is...
He's perfect. I'm sorry. It's unbelievable. It's unfair. They're such an attractive couple. They're very on paper and on my screen. They are very standable. But I've learned my lesson.
Because they're breaking up. He lives in France.
He lives in fucking France.
Yeah. Don't let black love fool you. He lives in New York. Do not let black love fool you. As a product of what would be considered black love, let me tell you something, okay? That shit ain't always what it cracked up to be, okay? Because I'm with Jenny. I was looking at them like, oh, you sad, sad people. But that's more about me, right? And my jadedness. Like, I'm not saying anything about those two people as people. Maybe they can withstand it all, but I refuse to put my heart on the line for this, okay? I refuse to. I can't do it.
I got too disappointed by Justine and Caleb because I I spent, and I mean, like, we're just going to talk about Love Island here, apparently. It took me, I was a slow burn on them as a couple because I really didn't think Caleb was that into her. And then all of a sudden they turned a corner and I was like, okay.
Like, oh, I believe in love.
Amazing. And I feel like this is the same story with Marvin and Melinda, where it's like, you know, he kind of pulled back and she kind of, you know, came back to him and was like really crying. And then he came around and I'm like, I can't do this again. Like, I can't stand you because you're going to break up.
Yeah. Black love is beautiful. Break up. It's beautiful AF, but it will pull the wools over your eyes. Okay. And it's dark ass wool. Like,
she's going to end up with Peter anyway. So,
oh my
Okay. In episode 8, it starts back up with...
how dare you try to get us on topic?
So Marvin and Melinda got the green light. Whatever. They make out. But we get Alana, like, gathering on the beach. And I have a serious concern. Is Too Hot to Handle a cult? Because in this last batch of episodes, they all started snapping in a weird, creepy way.
No, they've been doing that instead of clapping.
Yeah, they've been snapping.
And
I'm like,
I didn't notice it until these last three episodes.
No, well, they did it a lot. There was a lot to snap or clap about in these last few episodes, I guess, because everyone decided suddenly that they were in love with people after 3 weeks of...
It was not 3 weeks.
13 days, roughly 13
and
days.
Half of these most. People weren't even there the entire time. Yeah. So it's not even 3 fucking weeks. But they've been doing this. Like, and I'm like, okay, this is, I don't know what this means. Like, is this slam poetry?
Are you at a poetry slam?
Yeah.
Yes. She was killing me softly with his words. You know, like. Yes.
But Cammy, Lana kind of talks like that.
Lana is doing slam poetry the entire time. You're absolutely right.
Actually, I think we're onto something with this.
That might be a fact.
They're snapping for Lana's slam poetry. Yeah.
But so, okay, what got me mad about this. So they get gathered basically to let everyone know that $3,000 has been lost from Joey and Carly kissing, because Joey and Carly are on the season, whatever. But
how dare you?
What bothered
Carly came in third place. How dare you?
Yeah.
But what bothered me is Melinda started getting so upset that someone had broke the rules, and I'm like, had sex last night. You went full pasta.
There's two schools of thought here. First of all, the people who have broken the biggest rules are always acting the most mad. It's hilarious because, of course, the hypocrisy is absurd, but I appreciated that. Some, I can't remember who said it, but someone was like, "You're wasting money on Joey."
That was very funny.
Chase was very upset about the Joey thing, like, especially being like, "Joey, you've been here like 3 days. What the hell?" And it's like, listen, Chase, just because you closed yourself off emotionally to every woman here except Tabitha, other people want a kiss. Like, I'm really sorry. You could have broken the rules with Carly 100 times and you chose not to.
But he did. Like, in the beginning, they were breaking the rules within the first 3 days. Joey has 3 days of grace like everybody else. Like, everyone else came in. It was kissing random people. Just like, I don't know, y'all. But, like,
they
Joey knows.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
The loser had to kiss Peter. And then the winner also kissed Peter.
A game that I could get done with. Let me be... Can I be Peter? Please play rock, paper, scissors for my body.
I was clapping for him. I was like, yes.
Yeah, good.
And also, Peter. I would have been one of those women.
Again, literally, what did I say? I said Peter was being absolutely disgusting. And I thought, is he hot? Am I attracted to
him? I haven't been able to comment on Peter, but like, I actually think, because again, like, all of these people are... First of all, way too young for me.
These are children.
I feel like I probably shouldn't comment on them in the first place because I'm sure that it's probably not legal. But
no, it's all of them are legal. I can promise that.
But it still feels wrong.
It's frowned upon for sure. Yeah, it's
like, what? You have a problem with a May-December romance?
It's towing a line.
It's like 6 Decembers away from each other.
But I still look at them and think, like, okay, if I were injected into this terrible scenario, like, what would I do? And I actually think that Peter would be one of the guys that I probably would have been vibing with because he was, like, silly. He was fun. Like, I'm not, like, one of those people that, like, it needs like they need to be like over 6 feet, like, you know what I mean? It was just, like, it was one of those
really
things.
You know what,
really,
you know
what? Because
drag me to my face, like,
but
listen.
also Jenny, really.
What, how tall does it have to be?
If they're over 6 feet, then that's very convenient for me.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But I'm not
convenient. You're like 5'2".
5'3", first of all. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't write Peter off just because he's a short king.
Whoa. I'm sorry, we're just throwing the term short king around.
I'm sure he thinks of himself
that
way.
He is a king to someone.
There is only one short king in my life, and it's Matt Gagan. Okay.
I think that he had some personality to him, though, which is more than I can say.
Short enough to be a short king?
I'd have never seen you guys standing up. I don't know.
Malagory's taller than me, so I'm like, it's fine.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, all I see is like the upper body.
I'm
of all
just
people.
Saying.
Y'all could all be 6 foot tall. I would never know.
I am actually.
Just so you
I've been fooling you this entire time.
I'm 5 foot five, just so you know.
Oh, Kirsten the Stallion.
I like to be shorter.
We can keep rounding down. Yeah, but that's the thing about Peter is that, like, I know that people were kind of like, oh, the little guy. And like, I felt like he got like a little, like, mm-hmm. you know, literally minimized.
No.
They clicked minimize on the browser.
But I felt like he had more personality. And I completely agree with him being removed when he was. I know that this has not happened in these set of episodes. But like, I think that he had more personality than like half the guys there.
Have you seen his TikTok with the weird blood?
I've only heard your descriptions of it.
So he's just shirtless and he just like pours red wine over himself and talks about blood kinks. It's weird.
Honestly, I think that the fact that he's a TikToker would make me like him less. Like, that's one of the things. I'm like, okay, you're a little shorter. That's fine. Oh, you're a TikToker? Maybe this won't work.
So we're saying as a collective that blood kinks are bad?
No, we're not. I do not kink shame, but I will shame Peter.
Okay, that's fine.
But I heard it's wine, and I'm like, okay, you're just pouring wine.
He's wasting red wine.
I also do that.
That's a problem.
He's wasting red wine. It's not getting drank.
Wait, hold on. Jenny, you do what?
You. No, I'm just saying. I also
Jenny pops her top off and
into her face. Yeah, I'm like wherever it gets. I'm trying to get it in the mouth.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my. Okay.
Well, if you lift your mouth, at least it'll land on your face.
Out of context.
I know.
That account is about to light us up. They got me today.
They already have so many tweets.
They got me today, and I didn't even say anything bad. So trust me, this is going to be bad.
I saw what they tweeted that you said, and it was
I was
bad.
Quoting a contestant. It wasn't even a my quote.
Oh,
I
wow. Said that.
Yeah, they're good. They're coming for us, whoever that is.
The RHAP out of context account is wild.
It doesn't respect me. Yeah. They don't respect me.
And it shows.
Trying to.
It's obvious.
Okay, so two people have to get kicked off the show because they're not respecting the process. And I said, guessing Christina and Robert. And then Lana said, Christina and Robert. And I typed in my notes, on the money, baby.
It's the right thing because, I mean, everything that Lana said about it was correct. That they were, you know, all the little clips they showed about like everything they ever said about each other was sexual. And also, I was not interested in them. At all.
See, I feel like Christina was giving production like good TV. So I was like a little sad to lose her. But Robert, again, I was deeply unsettled by Robert from the moment that I saw him. So I was glad to see him go. It's like
the hair is very upsetting. It was, and I agree with everything you've said up until this point. It was a confusing shade. Everyone's like, oh, with the blonde hair. I'm like,
that's not blonde. I am blonde.
Yeah,
it was the style as well. There were some times where he styled it and you were like, okay, fine. And then there were times like when he gets eliminated, it's like windswept. Sir, did you just get off of like, you know, like some type of bicycle or something? Like, why does your hair look like
this? On the swing set in the ocean.
Okay, but like you're on TV, constantly comb your hair like all the time. Cause I would.
the other thing is that like it just very much felt to me like a marriage of convenience where it's like, we both want to be on the show. You know, the storylines with everyone else aren't going to work out. We both just got here. Everyone is attractive, to, you know, let's like in terms for of the like they're going to get past
Jenny's
on
doing air quotes on the
well, I'm just saying, like, I think that that's subjective. And I wouldn't say that I'm personally attracted to like all of the people on this cast, but like in terms of like putting you on a show, yeah, these people are attractive. So it's like you're just defaulting. You're like, yeah, like after a couple of drinks, apparently only two a night, I could want to make out with you. Like, I didn't feel like there was any actual connection between these two besides being like, Jenny, oh yeah, like we could hook up. That would be cool.
Jenny, I would make out with anyone after two drinks.
Same.
Well, at this point, I mean, I've done less. I sniffed alcohol and I said,
you know what? Fuck it. But you guys, this is like the moment of like television though that I'm talking about that loses me. Cause I came into this thinking like hot dummies on an island trying not to lose money, but they're so horny they can't control themselves. Right? Like that was the premise. But now you have like, oh no, y'all are horny. And that's it. Y'all are one dimensional. So y'all have to go. And I'm like, no, no, no. That's the only intrigue we have right now. Like, because like at this point, everyone else has been berated to the point where they're not going to do anything. Like yeah. Melinda and Marvin better not do it. They lost like $20,000. Like y'all can never touch each other again, you know? But like the two that I was most concerned about messing up is like, is this pair and you're getting rid of them. I'm like, oh, well now what? But you know, there's still that hope that Cam will screw up because he's Cam. But aside from that, I'm like, you got to bring in more pairs. And of course, they do bring in more people. But it's still like for that, for me, I was like, ugh, this is where it's starting to lose its luster for me. Just because I know what show I signed up for. And right. This is not it. I signed up for Hot Dummies on an Island, not Hot Dummies trying to find love. That's different. That's not what I thought this was.
I do feel like the branding and like the like, I don't know, the way that it was explained where it's like, oh, well, you people have had hard time like finding like real connections with people, but it's like I almost feel like those people were like, I'm not interested in that. Like there are numerous people on this cast that are like, I'm here for fun. Like literally multiple times in these sets of in this set of episodes, Tabitha's like, my I'm queen. Just here for a fun time. And it's like, okay, well then like if the show wants people that are going to, you know, do their best to try to like scale down their thirstiness to find a real connection with someone because they're actually looking to get into a relationship with someone that maybe doesn't even live in the same continent as them. Like, then why are you casting people that don't care about that? You know what I mean? Like, figure it out. Like, do you want this to be this or do you want it to be this? But, like, I do feel like there's a little bit of like an identity crisis with this show.
Yeah, but I'll take it one step further. For me, if I want drama, you want to keep the one person around who's not here for that, right?
Right.
Because you want Tabitha inviting people in the shower, even though they're like they're coupled up. You want, you know, like the woman who got Christina. Yes, her.
Yeah.
The woman who got voted out. Like you want her to be like, screw it, I want to break the rules because you want to keep them around. So for me, even if you have those people on the same cast, you don't get rid of them. You get rid of Kayla, who doesn't do anything, right?
That's just what like, I'm saying. I'm like, what is the so what is your purpose here? Like you got rid of Kayla because she wasn't making connections with anyone. So it's like she's not giving you your romance storyline and she's also not breaking any rules. But then I'm like, then I mean, even though Robert and Christina were like the most likely to be breaking rules, like I just wasn't invested in them.
They seemed a little
maybe because they were later comers, but I just really, I mean, I can't say anything about
Robert is how normally early not or later a later comer. He normally just, he arrives very quickly to the scene.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. 20 seconds of that.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, I also wanted to talk. I'm sorry. I'm derailing us here because I feel like we've gone so far off. I'm bringing us actually back to the rails.
We've been talking about the show, I promise.
Okay. I noticed that Chase has really tiny nipples also, and that needed to be
said. As a man with tiny nipples, please respect our...
Chappelle said we exist.
I can't see it. I would say that's tiny.
Chase's were smaller.
I love the bounce that I just got, though.
Yeah, I got a little,
Chappelle, lifted the shirt and, like, jiggled it.
The little titty play for y'all.
We saw his brand, too.
We call it nipple play where I'm from.
Nipple play? No.
Yeah.
This is a thing now.
Everyone's
wishing this was a video podcast.
I'll never be okay. Yeah, and guess what? It's not. I like to just come and I'm not releasing the video.
It's not happening.
But look. To Jenny's point, though, I think for me, I felt like the show marketed itself to me as hot dummies on an island trying not to have sex. But the show is telling them, we want you to make meaningful connections. If the show told me, can we take these hot dummies and get them to make meaningful connections, then I would know what I was going into. And I still might watch it. But that's not what I thought. You know, I thought this is a contest of money, you know, and we're going to keep tempting them and getting them drunk and putting them into tantalizing situations where they are forced to try to determine if they want to keep the money. But actually, it's like a lot deeper than my shallow ass is. And it tried to make a statement about something. And I hate that. But I also think that that's probably bigger than whatever I thought the show could have been. So I hear exactly what you're saying.
It didn't need to be a romance show, and I don't believe in the romance of any of these people in this context. So it's like they could have just leaned. They were already leaning in that direction of being trash. You know what I mean? It's like, then just, do you think that if they handled like the money thing differently, that it could have, like, because there was so much like ambiguity about the pot of money.
But that's what this show does. This show will not tell you the rules ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They will not tell you how much things cost. They will not tell you how the winning like works, how the pot works, who gets the money. They didn't do it in season 1 and they didn't do it in season 2. And then season 2 was different from season 1, both in the cost of what things were.
Yeah.
And in how the prize was won. And like, thank God, because like, if they had the same prices as last season, they would have been at $0 within 3 days.
It's like the whose line is it anyway of like the, like, you know, hot dummy on the island show. But like, this is the thing is like, if you had personal pots of money, like, I do think that it's a different game. Like I was literally saying this to Kristen. I was like, this would be easy for me because I am motivated by people being mad at me. So if I'm like spending other people's money and they get mad at me, like that's not a situation I want to be in. If it's my own money, I'm an idiot. Like I would be a stupid person and spending the money being like, hey, I'm here for this. This is a fun time. And if I have a quote unquote connection with someone, yeah, I'll spend a little bit of money. But if I know I'm spending other people's money, then I might act and they're going to get pissed off at me. That's going to motivate me to not do that. So I'm like wondering if like the changing the format of like how it works, would that make any different? Would it make people less inclined to like do something because it's like they're spending literally their own money that they know they're going to get? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I think having the joint pot does give people more incentive to like you said, get mad at each other though. Like you just pissed away. Like I've been with like, who is it? He's been with M, Cam has been with M for weeks or for 7 days, roughly, at this point. Yeah. And so, of course, he's pissed because he's like, we have been dying to have sex. How dare you in this breakup thing that Melinda and Marvin have been doing? Like, how dare y'all two be the ones that have sex when we clearly have a connection? We have not strayed. The two of us have been breaking like tiny rules because we can't, you know, keep ourselves away from each other. And so maybe that's where that comes from. But I'm more in the camp of maybe like gaming the system, because we see in this episode that they go and like, oh, you know, if you can spend the night together without, you know, without doing anything freaky, like you win, what, $25,000 almost? Yeah. Okay, so like for that, I'm thinking if I win us $25,000, each of y'all can go. Yeah, like, but even y'all.
But they had already lost them 20 grand because of having sex. So it's like they were just trying to get that back.
But for me, it's like money in the bank. Though, when you think about the Cam and Emily of it all, when they had the opportunity to earn $20,000 for the pot and they thought they did.
Yeah.
But they had not. That, like, those are the moments we want on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I win $20,000, I just feel like me, I would Oprah to everybody. I'd be like, you get a kiss. You get a kiss. Like, all y'all do stuff.
Look under your chair. There's a kiss.
Yeah, there's a kiss. Maybe a hand job.
Maybe.
We're classy. They
seem to be plentiful here on this show. But I'm saying, I want $20,000 for us. And I do have more opinions about that. So I'm going to put a pin in that. We can come back to that later.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's different if you went ahead and hadn't already lost a bunch of money and then gained the money, because then I would be like, hey, you guys wouldn't have had that money if it weren't for me being a good person tonight. Now I'm also going to have myself some fun tonight. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to spend it all, but like that money is in the pot because of me. But I think it's different in the situation with Marvin and Melinda, where like, yeah, they were the reason they were down 20 grand.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, I think we should probably talk about the workshop that they send Carly and Chase to.
We have to.
I don't want to touch on it for too long, but basically, like, the essence of this workshop is that they send Carly, Chase, Joey, and Tabitha, but then they make them switch partners so that Chase and Carly get their closure. And it's basically like one of them will be gagged and the other gets to just say whatever they want with no response, and then vice versa, which is literally what they do at the final bonfire in Temptation Island. So, like, it's not an original thought.
Shocking.
But, well, except they don't gag them on Temptation Island. You're just not allowed to talk.
I like the gagging part.
I liked when Carly tied it tight on Chase. She was like, I'm enjoying this. And then she was just holding it in front of her mouth.
I have a question. Why weren't Joey and Tabitha there? That seemed completely unnecessary, because it was like they were pretending as if they were also participating in the activity. They have no relationship to each other. They're literally just there to watch them have a conversation. It was so weird.
I think it was just in order to get both Carly and Chase there. I think they just were like, okay, we'll bring the person that you're in a couple with. We'll make it seem like it's a workshop, but actually it's for Carly and Chase so that you can get closure.
But they made it strange about that. They could have just invited just the two of them. It would just seem so
They're on a show. Like, no. They have to go if the camera people are like, come here.
Listen, we learned from Kayla that they could be on the show and we cannot
be on the show at the same time. Yeah. But listen, I see the vision, because if I'm Chase and I've moved on and I'm not thinking about Carly and I have my eyes on Tabitha, if they're like, Carly wants closure with you coming this day, I'm like, you know, no, hell no. Mm-hmm. She can go on. Like, this is not my business. Carly needs to get over it. It's like, people here, go make meaningful connection with someone else. So you have to tell me that Tabitha's going to be there or I'm not going to go. Like, if you're just like, Carly wants to yell at you for 5 minutes and we're going to gag you while she does it, like, no, the hell. But if you're like, oh, you and Tabitha, we need to work on connection. Like, okay, Tabitha's going to be there. And then you spring it on me. We're all doing this together. It doesn't just feel like an attack on me, because that's how I would have felt if I was in his position, if there wasn't for the other two people.
So you think that Tabitha being there in for, like, it kind of influences Chase to be on his best behavior, because he's like, well, I can't be an absolute dickhead to Carly in front of Tabitha because I'm still just trying to wheel her. Like,
exactly. But that in just in general, it validates the thing. It validates the exercise, because if you just tell me like, hey, we understand that y'all two have had a tumultuous time here. We want to get y'all some closure. I'm going to say I have closure. She's the issue. She has an issue. She needs to find closure. But why do I have to be there? And I'm not saying that's the right answer. But if I'm in his position, that's exactly what I'd be saying. Like, I found somebody that I like. I want to spend time with them. Why do you have me over here massaging Carly's like ego and her like feelings and her insecurities? But what everything she said was valid. Everything she said was true.
Yeah. When she laid into him.
But yeah. If I was in his position, I definitely wouldn't have like agreed to that. If you hadn't said, okay, Tabitha and Joey are involved. It's a team building exercise for everybody. You can't just isolate me and be like, hey, I see you're having a good time. Why don't you come over here and get yelled at for a little bit? It wouldn't work for Chappelle. And it didn't work for Chase either.
It was a whole thing, but it gave them some closure. Carly feels good with Joey. Chase is like really into Tabitha, which is strange because it's like you don't know her. You just know that she's hot. Like, you got to stop.
No.
Like, she's hot with an accent. You don't know her.
But he does. Like, I.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, listen, there are good people on both sides.
I just feel like we should hear his side of the story. Like,
oh
listen.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen her? I'm like,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So, in the second batch, in the third batch of episodes we talked about on this podcast, mm-hmm. there was a scene where all of the women were like burning the things they want to leave in the past, and all of the men were just humping together, like comparing their technique. Do men do that?
Okay, so here's my theory, because I watched the same episodes you guys watched, and I saw that too, and I was like, what? But I think I think the issue here is that Nathan is a stripper. And so Nathan has been dancing and grinding on people this whole time. So I think he was like showing them moves. I don't think
that
this
was
like
the prompting.
Yeah,
I don't think that's how they.
Yeah, I think he was showing people because he's been dancing every time they show Nathan, he's dancing. Like, even when he was dancing on the woman that he didn't connect with, I can't think of her name right now. It'll come to me in a second. But like,
Marissa.
He's always grinding on
connect,
someone.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
They disconnected.
But yeah, like, he's always doing that kind of air humpy thing. And so I think this was just like him like showing like stripper moves. I don't think this was like them doing a tutorial, because if you leave it to these people, they all say that they have sex all the time, every day. Like, I can't even go 3 seconds without thinking about it. And so I don't think we would need to like compare techniques. I think I would just trust your judgment at that point. You know,
I don't even fully believe, like, if we're being.
Ooh, who don't we believe, though? No, let's dive into this. Who's lying? This is a game Kirsten and I like to play often. Like, who's
lying?
Who's lying about this?
Not the game we play off.
Kirsten gets drunk and calls me in the middle of the night like, I think this person is lying. And I'm like, Kirsten, I think they're telling the truth. She's like, they're definitely lying. I'm like,
you're misrepresenting our
I can't represent it the way it's supposed to be, because then
you're making me sound like the bad guy.
So what are you lying about?
People just be lying about stuff, you know?
It's fine. Okay.
It's not fine. Don't do it.
Moving on. So who's lying from this cast about their level of promiscuity?
Yeah. Joey.
You think so?
I have a big problem with Joey, because in these episodes, Carly says that she normally is drawn to douchebags, but Joey is so good for her. And I'm like, Joey seems like a douchebag to me.
Well, let's find out. Kirsten, how hot is Joey to you right now?
Yeah, that's how we measure
Wait,
it.
How tall
that's
is
what
Joey?
I'm saying.
How much thighs does he have?
He actually looks pretty tall, yeah.
Is he heavy on the thigh side or not?
Hey, no, stop it. How dare you?
Kirsten is immediately regretting.
Wait. Joey Joy is 6'4", famous
Kirsten, hit the DMs. Kirsten, it's time.
We found it.
Listen. Toxic, tall, and he has thighs.
Does he have thighs? I don't remember.
I don't know. He's
only one way to find out.
Skinny to me.
It's only one way to find out.
Listen,
send the DM.
Nothing wrong with a nice hockey thigh.
No, there's a lot wrong with hockey thighs.
But like, aesthetically, nothing.
Aesthetically, I'm on your side. But yeah. Practically,
it's almost always a bad sign.
Hockey players. No offense if you're a hockey player listening to this podcast.
It's specifically
unless
hockey
you're
players
toxic,
with thighs.
And then all offense intended.
Right, but also check your DMs. Kirsten's on the way.
No! Okay. So Nathan and Larissa break up and it's so uncomfortable, but she like puts him in his place. Like she's like, no, like we've talked about this. What are you like? Where is this coming from? Which I feel like is very on brand with what we saw on the show where he was like, I don't know if she likes me and she doesn't know if I like you. And she's like, no, I told you I like you.
Kirsten, I know your opinion on this because I've listened to you talk about it on a couple of the panels, but I really want to know, Jenny, what did you think about Nathan's like opinion about Larissa and how she feels about him?
That whole thing was very confusing to me because I felt like he was like into her and then it seemed like he was feeling like she wasn't into him enough and that was why he was upset. So I felt like it was almost like an insecure moment where he was like, I'm raring to go and she's like, she's having too easy of a time, like playing by the rules. And that makes me feel like she's not interested in me. And so I think that this manifested into like the situation where he had the opportunity to talk to somebody else. And it was like, they seemed more into him from the jump than Larissa did. And so that made him feel like they didn't have a good connection. And if they talked about things and like, cause Larissa's like, we talked about this, then sure. I didn't feel like I ever really saw like a real conversation between these two where they actually talked about how they felt about each other. It was more so like the conversations we saw, like when they got greenlit, it was more so like talking about like their past and their personal growth. And that was when they got the green light, but it wasn't even so much about how they felt about each other. So there was a part of me that was like, maybe Nathan has a point where he feels like, you know, I mean, they've all been cast for this show because producers thought that they would have a hard time resisting. And he feels like she's having a very easy time resisting. And so he's maybe feeling some type of way about him
when they got the green light. Caught air.
Jenny, thank you, though, because I agree with you and I agree with him a little bit, too. I think from his point of view. He's been in a house because they called them mom and dad at some point.
Yeah.
So we know those two people are acting very like conservatively in comparison to these other crazy, quote unquote, kids around them. But I think that's what bothers him is that like you got Cam who physically can't keep his hands off of him to the point where she like is like giving him crab grabs and like he's like masturbating in the
kitchen. Spend money on the shower.
And the shower and stuff like that. You got Melinda and they're like, we messed up. We did this and that. And then you got the other girls like, oh, I grabbed his willy. Like you got all of that going on around him. And Larissa's like not touching him at all, you know? And he's like, listen, I know you want the money. And I know you want a connection, but like, it's nice. I think he said it. He wants to feel like he's wanted. And even though she's saying it, look at how like animalistic these other people are being around each other. Like they are constantly like, I can't keep my eyes. I want to dry hump them in my sleep. And we never get that from Larissa about him. And so I think, and guys talk, we do. And so, you know, like he sits around and like, he's talking to his guys and they're like, hey, you know, like, so she was telling me that she can't wait to rip my clothes off. We heard that from other people. We never hear that from Larissa about him. And so I think that's where his insecurity comes from. Now, I agree with Kirsten, though. She said it. I'm very much a person that if you tell me what it is, hey, say it to me. Don't let me
to just take people at their word. Like when you're in a like romantic situation, someone tells you something, you have to just take them at your word. Read into it because then that just drives you insane.
Exactly. But it's extremely difficult. And so that's what I'm saying. I get what he's saying. I agree with Jenny. Like you got casted on this show because you were supposed to be so horny that you can't keep your hands off of somebody. And for $20,000, you can't stop having sex. Like we expect you to kiss people and we're going to charge you $3,000 for it. You were supposed to be that type of like that type of discipline. And he's laying on top of her when they're in the little suite together. And she's like, he's like, does this tempt you at all? And she's like, no. Like, oh, damn.
I think her concern was that if she said yes, it would be like, it would escalate even more and be even harder. Like, I think it did tempt her, but she was like, no, I'm following the rules. Like we're not losing more money.
You speak it into existence. You're no, if I say no, like it's a no.
Yeah. But he's like, listen, they've like Melinda just lost $20,000 for us. They had sex. You can't give me three. I can't get $3,000. I can't get $2,000.
They were in a 24-hour challenge to win a reward.
I mean, but just in general, when we get out of the reward, hey, let's break a rule. Like just touch it. It's $2,000. Just touch it. I don't got to finish. You know, so I understand what... I'm just talking about precedent set on the show, you guys. I'm not talking about my own personal opinion. If the out of top, like the out of context account tweets, just touch it, Chappelle's right, I'm going to lose it, okay?
But, you're getting canceled.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying. Like they're tweeting that. Like that tweet is already
the moment
out.
I said it, I was like, shit. You know, like, damn it. Okay. But no, seriously.
Yeah, but I'm not editing it out.
No.
That's fine. Don't edit it out. Listen, I said what I said. But I think that's what his point of view is. It's just that, like, you have all these people who are like, they can't even think of the idea of going 24 hours without touching each other. And she's like, yeah. No, I want to win the money. It's like, okay, but I want you to not want, like, I want you to be able to be willing to risk it, I guess. And so, yeah, I can see where he was coming from. I don't necessarily agree with him, but I could definitely see the thought process.
I'm glad we're getting the men's perspective here.
I think that they probably weren't like fully communicating properly. And I think that also there was like a lot of resentment around the way the money was being spent, where we literally see in the set of episodes, the direct, like, you know, result of people being bitter that, you know, other people are spending money and they haven't, because Chase and Tabitha hook up during this episode because Chase is like the last person.
Because Chase is mad. Chase only kisses Tabitha because he's upset that Carly and Joey kissed Tabitha.
And he was literally no, everyone's absolutely
not.
Spending money.
I disavow that. No, that's not true. He finally He's in love with that woman.
I'm not saying he's not attracted to Tabitha. I'm just saying that, like, this entire time, he's been harping on everyone being like he's been giving confessionals the entire time being like, you know, like, I'm gonna be so pissed if people spent money. And then he gets to the point where he's like, well, fucking Joey just showed up and like is kissing Carly and everyone's spending money. Like, screw you guys. I have this hot girl in my bed. I'm going to kiss her. Like, clearly we're not going to end up with any money here. So he was just doing it spitefully, being like, well, I've earned my place here. I've not spent any money. And now I have a girl here that I'm very interested in. And so, like, everyone else has spent their money. This is my time. I'm spending money. So I think that that's like kind of how everyone is feeling. Like, there's like this weird thing where Nathan's probably like, oh, all these people have spent money, like with the people that they're with. And, you know, she's not interested in doing that with me. That tells me that she feels some like type of way about me. And instead of having a conversation about it, you know, he has a date with another girl and he feels like this girl is more interested in me than Larissa. So therefore we do not have a connection.
And Elle is not into him at all. Also, nothing else happens with them whatsoever.
Yeah.
I also want to talk. I want to talk about the Cam Tabitha shower thing, because it was hyped up like it was going to be some big thing.
Okay, yeah, because I have questions.
Tabitha's just like, I'm going to have a shower. You can watch if you want to. Also, you can join me. And Cam, like, watches her shower for a long time before he actually leaves the room.
Long. Stop
no,
it.
He's in there, like, that was he is edited. Struggling. He is struggling. Was,
okay, so he struggled. He made the right decision, but listen. Yes,
but no, but wait. Can
it was
I
not that long.
Listen, okay. He spent a long time watching this woman, lather up her breasts before he left the room, and then it's treated like Cam has grown as a person.
Yeah. She didn't grow as a person. She's literally saying, come into the shower, Cam. Just open the door. And it's like, no, I'm on the other side of this, like, partitioned, what is it? The door has got like the little grayed out parts.
The frosted
really
glass,
see.
But yeah. He's looking down. He sees everything.
So listen, when you something. Say he's grown as a person, we're literally talking about his penis, because he's definitely having some sort of moment during this where he's like, okay, do I go for it?
I couldn't believe he didn't go in. I thought he was going to go in the shower and this was going to be where Emily gave him the third chance that she said she wouldn't give him.
Yeah.
I was upset because, I mean, I felt as teased as, you know, Cam felt by Tabitha getting to that shower, where we saw the clip of this happening like two episodes prior. We're like, okay, at some point there's a Cam and Tabitha shower thing. And then we finally get to see like the proposition at the end of the whatever the eighth episode. And I'm like, let's go. Let's see. The trash man is ready to show his face. And ultimately, he doesn't deserve the award he gets. I'm sorry. They acted like he fucking cured a disease by like not chewing on it.
That was all difficult. You know, you have to pick your words wisely here. That was a difficult thing to do. Okay, he deserves all the accolades because Tabitha came here.
All the accolades.
I'm sure it was very hard for him. Okay,
difficult, Kirsten. Gee, stop being a creep. Like, listen, he was in a tight spot.
I think he wasn't.
Yeah, he was between a rock and a hard place.
Congratulating him.
He was between a rock and a hard place.
I also and like.
It was tough for him.
Stop. We got
it. That's
the
you.
Other thing. So there was the interview. Again, we talked about this last time, but there was the interview with Cam where he was like, I had to have painkillers for how painful my balls were.
Okay. I didn't understand him when he said that. I was like, you know, you're very childish. That's like, that's not a thing. But then when I saw this shower scene, I was like, well, maybe we should just hear his side. There are good people on both sides of the argument.
I was like, is Chappelle going to say that like his balls were so painful watching this scene? I was like,
no, I just think that we got to hear him out all the way. Cause Tabitha was like, hey, listen, I know. Look, I'm right here. Just come in the shower. What's up? And he's like, I already came in the shower once. I'm not going
to
do it again.
Messed up of Tabitha, to be quite honest.
Yeah, Tabitha I didn't love this for Tabitha. Yeah,
she's a sexy
decoy. I want to spend money. I don't care.
Yeah, that's her knowing her place on the show and just being like, I'm here to fuck shit up and, you know, make enough of a name for myself on the show that I get the followers that come along with it.
As a person that
thinks about things as how I would feel as a person, didn't love it.
Yeah, so she was the sexy decoy here. You know, like in Maury, they put you in the green room where you're waiting to come out, and then they like let the sexy decoy walk in and she strolls around, and then you get to see your baby daddy or your husband cheating on you because he's like hollering at the sexy decoy in the back room. That is Tabitha's role on this show, and she played it well. But the problem is, this is more of a commentary on how damaged I am than about these people, because I am so used to, if a woman was to do that, and I'm involved with another woman, I was waiting on Emily to go whoop her ass. I thought that's what was coming. I thought it was going to get out and everyone's going to agree to these things. Cam is like, he asking for forgiveness. I saw you. I saw her in the shower. Nothing happened. It was really tough for me, but I fought it and I want to be your boyfriend. Cool. I still was waiting on Emily to be like, cool, hold on real quick. Let me go handle this bitch right now. And it didn't happen. You know,
because Emily handled it the way that we've been saying we want people to handle it. And that
confront the guy.
It's like, you know, you should take issue with the person that you have the closer relationship with that did you the most wrong.
Yeah, because, 100%.
Like, yeah, it's shitty of Tabitha, but also you haven't spent however many days or weeks like building a friendship with Tabitha.
But so this also, the situation with Cam and Emily at this point, he has already gone to Emily to basically speak about his insecurities. And I really thought that they had broken up. And then I kept being like, is he going to break up with her? Is he not? And I was like, I thought that was over. Like if someone talks to me, the way that Cam talks to Emily about like, I'm just so scared. I would have been like, goodbye, good riddance, goodbye. I will see you never. And so the fact that they're like together when they had the breakup conversation already is just mind boggling to me.
I think that's the thing, though. I think it was less of a breakup and him more like flagging like, hey, this is like, I'm on the edge, right? Like you caught me in the moment where this is normally where I run away. Like, this is it. Like I've been giving you my all. There are 3 days left on this show. When I leave here, like I could easily walk away from this. So this is a turning point. And I think that was him addressing that. Now, to your point, for me, you come at me like that and then you're probably gonna be like, well, go shit. I don't know what to tell you. It's been roughly 3 weeks. It's been 10 days. But you know, like
at
like,
most.
Yeah, at most, like 10 days. But like, seriously, I think that's why they highlighted that moment, is because it's less about the breakup and more of him saying like, I'm about to be a flight risk. This is where you reel me in. And I think she did a good job about it in that moment. It was, honestly, as much as I complain about them finding emotional connections, I didn't hate this, you know, whatever. Oh. I didn't hate it.
We also get Marv and Melinda go into the private room and they do not hook up at all night, and they win $25,000, bringing the total up to $55,000 for the final total. But I loved Melinda fully putting the stool in between them. She's like, no, I can't resist you. I need a physical barrier.
I was thinking about, like, you roll. There's no way they left that stool there, because I'm like, you roll a little bit and that stool is going to tumble onto you and like crush you.
I don't think it looked that heavy.
But I think they left it there because we heard in the first episode, Melinda likes to have sex in her sleep. She likes to grind. And so
she
didn't say
she likes to have sex in her sleep. She said she humps the bed up. Humping. Like horny. And I think that the women were having what they have. She said she was humping.
I'm with you, Chappelle. Like, I understood that as like she wakes up like grinding the bed in her sleep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so she's like, why would I grind the bed if when you're here?
Like this perfect specimen next to me.
Right. And people have talked a lot about how attractive Marvin is. And I mean, like, she's not wrong. Like, if she woke up grinding him in the middle of the night, nobody would be like, oh, like, you whore.
I would have thrown the money away for Marvin. I would throw all of the money away for I'd have been like, oh, it's a $100,000 pot. That means five times and then the money's gone and we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, Lena's like, that kind of show is going to be on HBO or pay-per-view. I'm like, well, send me the link because I'll watch. I don't care. They're beautiful. These are beautiful people.
Yeah. But they could have like just slept. I don't know. Here's again, this is me thinking that I have more self-control than maybe I think that I actually have. But like, I'm like, you're wasting a king size bed with this fucking giant ass stool. I'm like, okay, if I'm not going to be hooking up, I'm going to get a good night's sleep in this bed. Let me spread out a little bit. They have this giant ass stool between them.
Like, I think a night of cuddling is nice.
Oh my God.
She dry humps in her sleep. She cannot be trusted. Defund women.
Oh my God, Chappelle! Stop that! The men have birthdays too.
How do we know what the line is between cuddling and dry humping? Because clearly Lana has a line.
I think that if it was happening when they were asleep and it's not like intentional grinding, like how can you be penalized?
But how do you know
unintentional grinding? If the person's asleep.
No, so
this
but
is
like
what I'm wondering.
Fake sleep though.
I think you can tell when it moves from like passive to active. I think it would be very obvious. I think if we examined the tapes, we would know.
Some women sleep straddle. It happens. They just
Do you think that they have like Big Brother feed watchers?
100%
are the people, because like those are like Lana. The people that are like, okay, like Jess and Cody at 3:52 a.m. Like there was some sort of weird movement under the covers. Because
that's exactly
this is what I've wondered is because they always act like they can get away with it when Lana legit just tells everyone what the fuck happened.
And
do they people think that they like? Is there stuff that happens that gets missed?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. She's always very graphic with it, too. She's like, oh, no, there was a crab grab and you didn't finish. Like, Lana, how do you know I didn't finish?
Yeah,
I still see
whether there was any sort of...
Is it like an infrared?
It's been 7 episodes. And I still can't believe that they wasted $4,000 on a hand job where he didn't even finish.
But who told Lana he didn't finish? That's what I want to know.
If nobody goes for a towel or a Kleenex or something, like...
Baby, sometimes... Never mind. Listen. Air effect can just like read the room like, I see you didn't climax. You know, like, what? Lana, get out of my business. Also, if I'm in the shower and I'm doing the things that Kev did, I don't expect Lana to know
shower. I think Cam could have gotten away with doing that more subtly if he hadn't had a conversation about his bros to be like, hey, guard the door so I can jerk off in peace.
Yeah, there's not 24-hour live feeds. This is not the Big Brother house. There could have been a Jack Shack. Like, I'm sorry. That could have been I feel like that's why I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, is there stuff that does happen that gets missed?
That's a better question.
And that's why every time they break a rule, they act like they maybe they'll get away with it because
you think there's more than 15.
Yes, this is that makes sense.
That's what I'm trying to say, because I'm like, why are you acting like you're not going to have to fucking expose this?
Right,
like
wait.
This is good.
These people literally expose themselves because they go into the confessional and they're like, hopefully Lana didn't see that. If they just kept their mouth shut, they could get away with so much.
Oh, yeah. Because are they, isn't that the way that prompts them to look back at the tapes? Because, well, I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of like neckbeard that's like watching every single thing and is very, very excited.
They have their dream job.
Yeah. They're looking to see it. Did he finish?
Like, did he finish? Zoom in, please. I need to make sure that's not. Is that shower water or are you just happy to see me?
Got the black light in there.
Right. No, Jenny, that's a good point, especially because we know that there are definitely moments where the camera is not on them. And we know that every time they lie about it, like even where we see him like, oh, we just kissed. And then Lana's like, you did more than that. Like, oh, I grabbed his billy. It's like, oh, OK. But there's no way Lana could have saw that under the cover. But if you go into confessional and you're like, yeah.
No, they showed the footage. We saw it under the cover.
That footage did not mean that facial expression did not necessarily translate to grab his willy. That could have been anything.
No, you could see the movement under the cover.
But that could have been anything. Maybe never mind.
Well, remember when Peter felt Melinda's mosquito bite? Like,
exactly.
Maybe it was just a very alarming mosquito bite. And you're
I'm sorry. Like, if anyone has a mosquito bite on their penis, please seek medical help.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, that sounds miserable. Okay. The couples all get final dates. Marvin and Melinda go on a date on a yacht and they become boyfriend and girlfriend. They get a green light. I cried because I'm weak. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, you're going to get your heart broken. Like,
Jenny, what placement in my chart explains me crying at this? Is it my cancer mark?
Probably cancer mark.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I would think so.
You're also Enneagram 8, so you know, you're a lot more tender than you want us to be.
Oh, shut up!
It's a
front.
You got a hard exterior, but deep down inside, you're a bowl of mush.
Disgusting. Take it back.
No, you're literally watching this being like, imagining, you know, your romantic yacht moment with your Marvin.
Is there a Marvin out there for me? Someone tell me where he is.
Here's the thing is like, I'm not going to wish that you have a Melinda and Marvin type relationship because I'm not fucking sold on it.
We don't believe it.
The fact of the matter is Melinda went out of her way for like 7 episodes of the show to make Marvin jealous to realize that he wants her. I would never put in the time to try and make someone jealous.
If I need
to make someone jealous, I would simply rather be alone. I do not care.
Mm-mm. I would.
And that's why you ain't had your yacht moment yet.
The other thing is, to be kind and honest about myself, I also don't know how to do that. So, like, it's not a tool I have. So I'm just like, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, it was precious. They're a couple.
I mean, I'm happy for them in that moment. I'm just having a hard time not being cynical about it and being like, I get emotionally invested in like characters on television shows and then they disappoint me. And this is just one of those things where I'm like, I'm very cautious about this because they've only known each other a couple of weeks. You're calling people your girlfriend.
Roughly 9 days. Yeah.
You're throwing out the L word. I'm like,
it was a strong L word.
The L word was too much.
I'll say horny all day. You're not going to catch me saying L word. I cannot.
That's a whole different.
That's a different podcast for another type of thing.
Chase and Tabitha get their final date, and I loved this date because Chase is like, I am so into this girl, and Tabitha's like, this was a holiday romance. I'm not into you.
I hated this.
I'm heartbroken. You have known her for 5 minutes.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you? He felt things.
This is funny because like we're getting Chappelle talking from the man's perspective and I'm fucking living because for once on one of these goddamn shows, we're getting the woman breaking the man's heart and being like, yeah, actually, I'm not that serious about this. And like, even though I didn't understand like the situation and why she's there, because apparently they want people to fall in love on the show, which I didn't really understand.
Right.
Like I was kind of living for, I'm like, yeah, like I love that for once, because you guys talked about this on the last recap with Sasha and Asia, where you were saying like the women are always there as like tools, as like, you know, parts of the story that are just like moving the men's stories along. And I mean, listen, that's still very much the story of this whole season. Yeah. However, I appreciated this one moment where the woman kind of dunked on the man and was like, you know what? I'm actually just here for a good time. And I'm seeing this as just like a fun hookup type thing. I was like, finally, because this is not something we ever get on these shows. Yeah.
I have some thoughts. And I will start with this. It was refreshing to see kind of like the shift from Carly being in that situation, right? Where she was very into Chase and he did not care. To like Chase now being into somebody,
yes,
who he was very into her and she did not care. And so like, I think that is refreshing just from a story standpoint, but also like, yeah, Chase, it sucks. It sucks when that happens to you. But as a man, I will say, my heart bled for him. I had only been watching her for roughly 10 days and I too had feelings. Okay.
Oh,
and I was like, if he's my avatar, I'm doing the same thing he's doing. I'm like, cause the problem is,
can you choose somebody else to be your avatar?
Chappelle now is like, I understand because she broke up with him. So now he has to gaslight her so that he can break up with her.
Yeah, Kirsten, that is a personal story that happened roughly 5 months ago. Okay, so
you tweeted
what I'm saying is like, yeah, it sucked to watch because like, yeah, it's kind of like you put yourself in the Carly position again, but now it's for Chase. And like, Chase is not my avatar this season. Like, there's no world where I want to be him in this situation at all. But I definitely see like, he's probably not used to having to chase. You know, he's a huge guy and like he's talking about
Chase,
like,
but he does not know
how chase. Right. Yeah. And so the fact that she's so cool and like calm and she's not worried about him, it's probably very alluring to him. Like, look, because Carly is like living and breathing for him very quickly. Like, oh, my God, why are you standing over there? Why are you looking at the other girl? You know,
like, she's literally like, asking him to cuddle her and like show her affection.
Meanwhile, Tabitha is like, yeah, I might get naked next to you, but I also might go ask somebody else to get in the shower. And he's like, what? You know, yeah. Like, but I love you. You know, like, that's like that last ditch effort. Like, you're going to leave me? What? Marry me. You know, like, so I understand his thought process. No, I do not agree or condone those actions, but I get it. That's all I'm trying to say.
You're just recognizing your own toxicity.
This has nothing to do with me, Jenny Autumn. How dare you?
I love you.
Is it hot in here? I'm sweating. I had to take off my glasses.
Sorry, Jenny has her foot on your neck, so you actually can't.
If you could be a little kind to your friend Chappelle, it'd be nice, Jenny.
Can you take your shirt off? We see those little nipples.
Oh my gosh, you want to see my little nipples again? No, listen. And another thing, though, I love how Tabitha does this. Basically says like, yeah, I didn't come here for that. Whatever you think you're about to have with me that everybody else has with everybody else, you're not getting that from me. But also, your friend Cam kind of flirted with him. He kind of watched me shower. Just digest that a little bit.
I loved that. And then and then Chase going to Cam to be like, what happened was... because Cam is scared. Cam is like, Chase is bigger than me. Yeah. Like, he's gonna kill me.
That's a big guy. He runs up on you.
He will tackle you.
Listen, in these situations, if you are ever confronted, if a man comes at you man to man about his woman and he is 6'5", 200 some odd pounds, you throw her under the bus. You blame her 100%. You never take any blame at all. You were innocent. You prayed, you cried, but you did not look at her in the shower. Yeah, you saw her in the shower, but it took everything out of you and you'll never do it again. You just fold like a lawn chair, fold like a bath towel. You don't let that big ass man come and crush you behind this woman that you never gonna see again that just broke up with you, basically. Like, you throw her under the bus. You bash this woman's name. And this is not me telling you this in real life. This is me saying to preserve your own health, save yourself, protect your peace.
Peace.
Protect your peace. Cam, baby, listen, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know what to tell you. You know, like, that's what, that Chase come in, you just throw your hands up in the air like, I'm sorry. Listen, I was intoxicated. I couldn't see. I was having my parents had a divorce. Then they divorced again. You know, like, I just start to, like, throw yourself at his mercy, because that big old huge man will beat your ass in the shower. And then you don't never want to get your ass beat in no shower. Let me tell you that. Okay. That's a big fear of mine.
You don't want the wrong thing beat in the shower.
You don't want to fight nobody in the bathroom. Okay. Yeah. Like, you just don't. So, no. I don't mind that moment from him. Like, throw her on the bus. And also, Tabitha, she like, oh yeah, we were flirting and he watched me shower. That's not what happened. You were like, don't you want to come in the shower? Come in the shower? Come in the shower, Cam. Come in the shower. Come.
Well, he already did come in the shower. So.
Like, I mean, I gotta come and arrive inside the shower again. You know, like, do that again, but with me this time. You know, like, so, yeah. So for me, she misrepresented that moment anyway. So I didn't mind him, like, just being completely hands off.
I mean, and I think that what he said was more accurate to what actually happened than what Tabitha said.
Oh, bro, sure.
Like, he told the truth. Neither of them told the full truth, I don't think, because he did snatch her for a little while. But what he said, they both white lied about it.
He was more recognizing, like, it was difficult for me. I had like a hard time holding back. Like, he easily could have He could have done a little bit more what, like, Chappelle is suggesting, and just, like, fully throwing her under the bus and being like, nope, I was running her away, like, back to Emily.
She is a whore, and I could never be seen like that. Like, you know, you throw her under the bus. But seriously, though, Chase, he saw, like, what Cam was basically trying to say is, like, the Cam that they know is the Cam who was getting the hand jobs and the grinding and stuff like that on the first couple episodes, who could not keep it in his pants to save his life, who comes downstairs with the grin on his face. Like, so he's like, look, all of that was in front of me and I still did not get in the shower. Mm-hmm. Growth. That's growth. Give me credit. And Chase.
And I mean,
Chase gave him the credit.
He's appealing to someone who is probably the best person who can recognize what a temptation Tabitha is. Mm-hmm. And for possible foreshadowing on, like, hey, look at me and how good I've done in terms of resisting this particular temptation. I don't know. Like, it could have ended up helping or hindering him. I don't know.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My question, though, and this is something that I didn't realize, because in the moment I'm putting myself in Cam's shoes in this moment. I'm like, you did what needed to be done. You have avoided conflict here by not having to fight the big, huge man in the shower. Cool. OK. But then Chase says, so when are you going to tell Emily? And that's something that never occurred to me. It never once in the entirety that he was standing in that bathroom occurred to me that he needs to go and share this information. And of course, this is a television show. It's going to air very soon after they come out of this house. And if he wants it to be his girlfriend and, like, you know, I have a real future with her, or even if he just doesn't want her to look stupid, you share this information. But me being a dummy, it never occurred to me to share that information. So when Chase brought it up, I was like, oh, shoot. Like, now you have to go and say this to the person who said, you can't have any more chances, to the person who said, like, I refuse to let you hurt me like that. You know, like, that is what the wild part for me was, because I was like, oh, I wouldn't have said nothing. But he definitely did the right thing. So I think we have to give him credit for growth, because she could have just found out on television and looked like a dummy in like 3 months.
That's true. Yeah. So he does go and tell Emily about it. And she's like, my feelings are hurt, but like, I'm glad you're being honest, but like, it's still shit to hear this. And Cam really is like, I don't want to do what I always do. Like, I'm being honest with you about my doubts and my feelings, but like, you're my best mate in here. And I like want to do disgusting things to you, but like, that's how it's supposed to be. Like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And then they end up together and they get a green light. And I was like, I thought they were breaking up again. Like, I thought they had already broken up.
Snaps for Cam and Emily.
Stop it.
Yeah.
The snaps, seriously, I mean, it's a cult.
No, it's slam poetry.
No, you're in a cult. Call your dad.
Yes. Yes. And you still get to be on the show for a couple more days.
Exactly.
Yes. And.
Okay, can we talk about, can we take a moment, and this gets acknowledged by, what is it, Desiree is the voiceover narrator?
Sure.
Watermelon jumbly pot? Is that what he said? Like, he's talking about how Emily makes him feel?
Yeah.
A watermelon jumbly pot is, okay, do we have any UK listeners? Is this something else that I'm missing out on and I don't understand?
I think Chris is going to Google it for us.
So a watermelon jumbly watermelon.
Pot? I thought watermelon was like his head. And then, yeah, like, jumbly
pot
is
definitely
like
his head.
Like his head is being a jumbly pot of watermelon.
Of emotion. Yeah. Like, when I Google watermelon jumbly pot, it just shows how to grow a watermelon in a pot. So I think he made that up.
Okay.
I think it was just saying
original
watermelon pico de gallo, which I'm listening.
I'm into even watermelon. If you mix it like with jalapeno or something spicy, I'm totally into that.
Yeah. I think he was just saying that he was like, you know,
he's like, he lost
it. It was enough to confuse me that I wrote it down where I'm like, is this like, did I miss a reference or something? But
you know, it was mind bottling. Like when you put all your thoughts in a bottle and you shake it up. You know, that's like watermelon jumbly pie.
Jumbly pie. Yeah,
this, it's mind bottling.
But wait, this watermelon pico de gallo looks so good.
Okay.
Should we ask Puya and Phil to do a watermelon jumbly pot challenge?
I think they've already done that.
But like, they put it in a pot and shake it up.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. On the banter
with vodka or something.
Oh my God, you're trying to kill them?
I mean, I think that's
like, are you going to get an inheritance if Phil dies? Like, what's the win for you here?
I'm just saying, I'm not saying like a whole bottle of vodka.
Is Liana in on this insurance scam that Jenny has going? Because if not, let me text my buddy and tell her to get this life insurance going.
I'm trying to think of what a watermelon jumbly pot is, and I'm picturing a pot.
It's watermelon and vodka.
With vodka poured in it, and you shake up the watermelon, make it a jumbly pot. Mm-hmm. And the watermelon becomes soaked with vodka, and then you have to eat all the watermelon and you get drunk.
See, back I've heard in my day about jumbly pot.
I say back in my day, we would just stick the bottle of vodka inside the watermelon. And then
well, that's not a jumbly pot.
That's a jumbly melon. We also get Carly and Joey have a date where they end up getting a green light that I did not think they deserved the green light. So they literally are just like, hey, I like you. Maybe this will be a thing. Maybe it'll be a thing. And then they get the green light. I do not think they deserved it. She basically says, hey, you're not a douche. And I'm like, yes, he is. And you don't deserve the green light.
I think that you need, honestly, like sometimes when you go from having like a douchebag relationship or whatever, the next person that isn't a douchebag, it's just like the light, like there's light and you're just like, wow, you're the greatest person ever. When like, maybe they're just not a douchebag. And that's, I really think that Joey is getting very lucky here, because I don't think that if he was at the beginning of the cast and he had a different storyline, I think we definitely see Joey being a douchebag. But I think that he came into a situation where, like, he just had to be a good guy if he wanted to be on the show whatsoever. And that's what we came into. But, like, poor Carly, like, my heart, like, I feel like a little bit of, like, a kindred spirit with Carly. Maybe it's just also because she's from Toronto. But, like, I feel like me years ago might have been Carly. And she's just like, oh, like, this date was so romantic. Like, we had yachts. We had, like, nice romantic
dinners and stuff.
It was like a bar of tequila. There was a bar of tequila and a hot guy. And I was like, well, you got two out of three.
I'm sorry, that guy's speaking Jenny Autumn language.
I mean, first of all, it is kind of the date that I'm looking for. But I'm like, I mean, two is good enough.
Like, Jenny, for your date, we have White Claws and Big Brother. Are you ready? And Jenny's like, just take me now. Like,
take me out.
Take me out. Yes.
Yes.
It's just, it's so weird to me, but, like, whatever. I hope they're happy. So we end up finding out, okay, it's over now. The prize fund is $55,000. It's, I guess, locked now. The big announcement is that only one person will win the money. So
did anybody have a rooting interest at this point?
The Melinda.
Melinda.
Because, again, I would die for her. I would jump in front of a train for her.
Here's the thing. It's like, I personally, of my favorite people on the cast, yes, it's Melinda. My favorite person by far.
Don't try and tell me you care about their growth. Stop it.
Me? No, I'm not saying I care about it, but I'm saying absolutely there's no way a man isn't winning this because, one, hashtag misogyny, and two, they're going to say, like, only the men could have the most growth because the men are going to have the hardest time resisting sex because of how we think about men and women and gender roles and all of this
bullshit. I think that this is a very good point, but I also think that in this season, the men that are left at this point are just, like, worse people than the women that are left at this point. So they, like, naturally started at a lower point. So it, like, didn't take as much for them
to grow. That's what I'm saying is, like, I was like, you know, people are not going to recognize Carly's growth or, like, Melinda, like, recognizing that she was pushing Marvin away and, like, you know, being honest with her feelings. Like, none of that was going to be recognized because this show perpetuates that same trope of, like, oh, like, women only play games with men because, like, the men started it and, like, they're the ones that decide, like, what the terms of the relationship will be. And, like, they're just going to make the men that they want jealous in order to get their attention. And so I just think that there's, like, no world where a woman's personal growth under these circumstances is going to be rewarded. We are going to reward the man for being like, good job. Like, you only, like, had to have sex once with this person. Like, congratulations. You are such a hero.
I don't disagree. I want to take it one step further. Let's talk about the strategy of this game. There's a social there's a social game element that we haven't talked about. And here's the thing. Because let's go ahead and just jump to the winner. The winner ends up being Marvin, right? Marvin ends up winning.
The final three are Cam, Carly, and Marvin. And Marvin wins 4-3 over Cam. Carly got zero votes. I think that, like, Melinda grew more than Marvin.
Well, so here's what my point is that, is it about growth or is it about how many friends you have? Because Carly, we can count her out. There's at least two episodes where she's not talking to nobody because she's just moping. She's pissed about the chase thing or whatever. And she's just hanging out. She hasn't made that connection with him. So she's not going to get his vote. There's no world where she gets his vote. So that automatically weeds her out of, like, just that one vote. Her one guaranteed vote is gone. Then you have Joey, who should vote for her. I was kind of upset that he did not vote for her.
I think production told him he wasn't allowed. Because it would have been a tie.
Yeah. And so then you have Melinda, who is automatically going to vote for Marvin. You have Emily, who's automatically going to vote for Cam. And then you have Chance, Chase, who is friends with Marvin. They've been buddies since day one. They have been a tag team since day one. So he's automatically going to get that vote too. So it just start, you kind of just see where it starts to, you could see where the needle starts to go in one direction where it's like, okay, well, who has the most personal growth and connection with everybody on a superficial level, even friendship wise, right? Because like, even though the goal is like, can you stop having sex long enough to like connect with people? Ultimately, your personal relationships do come in handy at the very end because now I have to vote for you. Like, we know that Nathan and Marvin were close. We saw them hanging out. We saw Chase and Marvin close. We saw Melinda close with Marvin throughout their entire season. Of course, Tabitha has to vote for somebody, you know, but like, and none of her couplings were up there. So she gets to just pick. But it's kind of like you have the entire roughly 10, 11 days to build these bonds with everybody. And then that's what paid off in the end. So I didn't.
They didn't go in knowing that this was how it was going to be decided.
Yeah, not at all. I think that's my thing, though. I think that I actually appreciate the point that like if your goal is to make these people make meaningful connections that don't have anything to do with sex, then a lot of times, yeah, the people who also live with you. They were calling each other a family for a very,
Chase cried when Kayla got sent home.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, if Chase is in that position, how many votes does Chase get, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know he doesn't get Carly, but he probably gets all the men's votes, you know? So it's not even about who made the most personal connection with their significant other. It's like, were you able to remove the horniness from your mind long enough to connect with the people that we have on the cast? And so, yeah, a part of me kind of hates this as a twist because, like, what? Because, like, I think justice for Carly in this situation, but also justice for Cam. Like he was obviously like everyone said it. He was the worst off to begin with. And then he's come to this moment where he's able to resist this hot woman in the shower who's inviting him and to think about somebody else outside of himself. But he's never going to get the votes that Marvin's going to get because he's just not friends with the rest of these people. Probably because he's spent all his time with Emily. So, you know, I think. For the next season, they have to change it up, or someone like me is going to come in trying to game the system.
Season three has already filmed before season two aired. So season three, they can do the exact same bullshit again. I'm curious what's going to happen for season four.
Yeah, because someone like me is going to try to game the system. I want to be friends with everybody as well as have an emotional relationship with someone else. So it's less about me and you, Emily. It's more about, hey, maybe me and Emily need to double date with Carly and Joey, you know? So then maybe Joey and Carly will vote for us if we're ever in that situation.
Totally changes the whole like premise of the show, which is again, like they changed how things work from one to two. Mm-hmm. And so are they going to change it up again so that people can't game the system? Because it's like, you don't know whose money you're spending. You don't know who's going to decide who's going to like, so it adds an element of like, you know, kind of unexpected, whatever. So people are just going to be like, you know what? I have no idea how this is going to work. So I might not even be spending my own money. I might as well just go off and do my own thing. So they're going to go into the season thinking a certain way. But the one thing I wanted to like going back to like the Cam versus Marvin of it all is that like, you know, we obviously got sound bites of saying like, oh, when this person came in, like they were the biggest player, which is like, again, it's like, you don't know because you didn't know this person. You were just you're getting whatever sound bites or stories that they told you coming in. And like, in terms of the actual confines of the season, like, and again, I don't feel like he deserves a freaking award for this, but like, we at least see Cam in two situations where he has a woman coming on to him and he resists. We see it with Christina where they almost kiss when they have that little date. And
we're not giving credit to Cam in that situation.
Oh, I'm not saying we're giving credit to him, but I'm saying like, if you're talking about being challenged and like, you know, making a conscious decision to resist in that situation, if that's what the premise of the show is, like, there is that situation. And then there's also the Tabitha situation where like, she is basically like, hey, do you want to get in the shower with me? And he, you know, takes maybe longer than he needs to make the decision, but he ultimately decides not to. Whereas like, I don't really think that Marvin was tested to the same degree. Like, you know, even like Elle comes in and at first and was like kind of interested in Marvin. And then after like having that like weird little like double date thing, she was like, I'm not feeling his vibe and doesn't even decide to like pursue him. I just don't feel like, again, I'm against like congratulating people for like not being the worst douchebag they could possibly be,
yeah,
and giving them $55,000 that they probably don't deserve. But if we're looking at it on paper, I feel like Cam probably did get tested more than Marvin did in terms of like, but again, yeah, but like what is the rubric? What do you rubric here?
Cam, like, is the winner of this show. Like you just can't.
You can. And I'm with Jenny on this one 100%. Because here's the thing. The top three are Carly, Marvin, and Cam. Carly got into a situation where she was over her head. She thought, like, I came here to hook up. She caught feelings for somebody who didn't have feelings for her. So her story is largely, how do I shake that? Marvin did the same exact thing. He came in thinking, I'm just going to hook up with people. Then Melinda made him jealous. So then that became their whole storyline. She was strictly caught up in that conflict between like, oh, does she want me? Oh, I'm going to make her jealous because she looks like she's talking to this guy. And they both got roped into drama. Whereas Cam's drama was specifically Cam. It was Cam and Emily. And then there were temptations for Cam to have to kind of like navigate. And then he had to grow. It wasn't like a story of two people for Cam.
Emily was a perfect angel the entire time.
Basically,
like she did nothing wrong.
She did basically
just being great, and so it really was up to Cam to like.
Yeah, I feel like if Marvin is not in a situation where he met someone who actually makes him jealous, right? Or or Carly is not in a situation where she met somebody who doesn't who does not have those same feelings for her. She doesn't get a chance to be in the top three. Every time you do this, if you simulate the season 100 times, Cam is still going to be in top three, because as long as he links up with Emily and decides that you're worth it, he's always going to show growth. You know, where these other two people more found like, dang, I hit a wall. You know, like I'm used to playing this way and it's not working. Now I have to do something because there's no other options here. Like I can't jump to the next person because I have to sleep in the same room with this person. Cam never strayed all the way. You know, he always had that battle. And so I would have voted for Cam, but I understand again that if you have the outside relationships and it's a jury situation, then you're going to win if you're in a Marvin situation.
Again,
we love a strategic game.
I'm just like, I feel icky about giving any one of these people $55,000 because I don't think
Here's what I think happened. I think last season everyone got like $3,000 before taxes, and then they were like, why did we go through the effort of writing all these checks and writing all the tax slips? They're like, we're just giving it to one person this time. It's easier that way.
I mean, I loved the twist. It would definitely made the end of the show more interesting to me.
We got a jury. Like, we didn't expect a jury.
Right up my alley,
it gave the other people that were just like non-factors a function at the end of the show, which I appreciated. And would also, I think about it from my perspective, I'm like, if I were just one of these nothing people, then at least I got to have a say in something. But like, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, we were voting between like, two of the literally because Carly was got no votes. We were voting between two men that spent the most money of the season. Mm-hmm. And like what is the point of the season?
It just goes to show you can spend money and that's how you win.
Well, you have to be able to lie.
That tells the story of like, okay, get your nut and then
Jenny,
and then
this is a PG podcast, Jenny.
Listen, the things that have been said,
we've said nothing.
This show and this podcast.
This is Bible study, Jenny. Please,
issue with me saying
I listen to this in the car with my family, Jenny. How dare you?
I think that is a poor life choice.
My family has a name. Look,
I don't think you should, but that's what I'm saying is like, then that gives you the message of like, okay, so I mean, it's kind of like what Cam was saying about like, you know what, I'm going to make an investment here where I'm like, I'm going to get this out of my system and I'll be able to wait a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But like, I honestly think that that's part of what happened here, where it was like, you know, these two were able to make some sort of physical connection with the other person so that they were able to like take a break from it and like, you know, chill on it a little bit to the point. And then all you do is you get to the end of the show, ask them to be your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you're a hero for just like
bare minimum.
Finishing strong. Like, that's literally all you have to do is like, okay, spend a little money in the beginning. I'm going to say it again. Get your nut. And then all of a sudden.
How many times have you said it now? Two, like three? Six.
When
you,
a couple times.
Six times. She won't stop. She's a monster.
I'm like a squirrel. I just can't stop calling him a nut. Can't just
stop getting nuts.
Thank God Rob couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Rob would be mortified. He'd be like, I can't bring this girl in. Well,
sort of this wouldn't have happened if Rob were here.
We'd be like, and then that's what you think.
Like, anyways, the show is over. Bye. And then Rob would make some sort of like double entendre. And then we'd be like, cool, we like this show, and then it would be over.
Rob would say, actually, no, I'm pretty sure there's not a Too Hot to Handle season three. Sorry, this is the end of the
Sorry, this is it.
I watched the premiere of this season with Rob on a Zoom call, and it was like watching a show with my dad. I was like,
I know, I heard that you guys watched it together, and I'm like, I don't know if I could do that.
You would have lost me. Saying, I would have hung up the call at Rumpy Pumpy. Like, I would not have gotten any further than that in the intro. Like, super sexy, super spreaders. I'd have been like, bye.
It was a lot of me being like, what? Ew.
Yeah. Well, and like the premiere is a lot of nonsense too. But like, I mean, I really hope that at some point, even off podcast, I can have a conversation with Rob, because I want to know what he thinks of Melinda and Marvin. Does he think that do they have the sauce? I don't know.
They have what it takes. Well, they do have $50,000 now. And so here's the thing. I think that might have also played into the voting as well. They're on two different continents. Throw them a couple $1,000. Maybe they can move in together. Easier. Yeah, maybe they can commute. Maybe they can have some type of like, you know, long distance type thing going on. It'll make it a lot easier. So I could get that. But yeah, I probably wouldn't have voted for Marvin. I also don't think it's fair that the women didn't really get to be in the running, except for Carly, who had nobody.
Carly had a serious relationship, they would have given it to the man. If it wasn't Joey, still, it would have been
that's what I'm saying
minutes.
Is like, I just don't think that the women in this format, again, like, and this is a different type of like, we can have conversations upon conversations about like how hard it is for a woman to win a jury vote in all of these other strategic, like social strategy type shows that we talk about. But like in this context where the moral of the story is learning to like resist temptation and like make it like a deep connection with somebody, I just think that like there's no way that anyone is ever looking at the story and being like, you know what, that woman really grew from this. Like, because of the way that they're put into these boxes and like what their story is. And like, again, it's constantly, you see Carly's like trying to open up and like Chase like blows her off. And like, you know, Melinda like was really into Marvin, and then she like has to make him jealous because he's not paying her enough attention. Like, they're constantly like creating this narrative of like, the woman is actually interested if the man would just like show up. So I just think that there's like no situation where like we're going to reward the woman's journey. It's going to be about the man like that we congratulate for like not coming 60 times during the season.
Coming to where? I'm sorry, listen.
Fruition.
Honestly,
oh my gosh.
Chappelle being confused about this makes sense with all the men on this season.
Well, no, I definitely was just trying to get Jenny to say nut again. So, but
getting their nuts.
But what I'm thinking here is that what we need is a season of Tabitha's. We need to bring Tabitha and her crew on next year.
Well, we know how you feel about that, Chappelle. You want 60 Tabitha.
So Chappelle wants to be on the next season with Tabitha and all of her friends.
Just use me for my body and choke me with a leather belt.
Now that's on the out of context account.
It's in context, baby. Yeah, but anyway, take me out. But no, seriously, what I'm saying is we need like the women who are going to be the avatars for like that growth, right? Like the women who like, you can just never see a world where she turns her life around. And then we maybe will get that story. But I'm with Jenny. I still don't see them being able to paint that accurately, because you're always going to find a guy who's less mature. It's always going to be available. There is a me for every Tabitha.
Annoying.
Like, then why? Like, do a cast of like, you know, dominatrixes and like a bunch of simps. Like,
yes,
give
pick me
a different story. You know what I mean?
I simp.
I'm not ready to see Chappelle get choked with a belt on national.
Please. I have the belt.
Like, so I want you to have that experience, Chappelle, and to be happy and fulfilled, but I don't think I'm ready to see it on
you
TV.
You text me about autoerotic asphyxiation all the time, and now all of a sudden you get on a podcast, you want to act a different way?
Again, I don't understand why I'm not included in these.
No, it's because there's an episode of BoJack Horseman about autoerotic asphyxiation. And Chappelle texted me.
Kirsten was talking about it.
No.
And I was like, Kirsten, how dare you? But also, I mean, if we can find us a Tabitha, then okay. Listen, that's a story for another time.
I just think Chappelle is trying to paint me as like this monster texting him when he is an equal participant in our conversations.
I'm definitely participating. I just want to throw Kirsten on the bus with me. So, but I think Jenny, what we're looking for here, we're looking for a male and a female winner at the same time, right? Like a man and woman. Because that way, like,
if they want to reward the couple, like,
no,
like
I don't even think a couple, though. I even think, like, pick two individuals.
Two different, you split the, yeah. And it could be separate.
With either or, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it could have been Marvin and Carly, or it could have been, you know what I mean? It could have been, like, Kim and Melinda or something like that. Yeah. Like, there's, like a man prize and a woman prize. Like,
or just,
seems
just
so fucked up to think about. But, again, like, I just feel like there's with this format, there's no situation. Like, Carly did not stand a chance. And I still think that she probably did learn something during this.
I think she learned the most.
Because she didn't get kicked off. You would think anybody else who gets basically dumped, like, instantly. Like, don't get me wrong. She got dumped on, like, episode 4. But after episode 2, there was nothing there. And she was, like, forcing it. She was like, please, talk to me. Tell me I'm pretty. Tell me anything. And she pivoted. She managed to not get voted off the show.
Yeah,
because they could have easily said, well, Carly, girl, ain't nobody feeling you. You can go. But she still, like, tried to make the meaningful connection. She tried her best. And then when somebody else came in, she didn't close down to where she wasn't willing to talk to anybody else. So she made a legit claim for it. I think in a situation like this, you do have to have a separate prize, because it's so hard to separate ourselves from TV and the patriarchy at the same time, to where it's like, this is the story and the narratives that people like and the people that people know. And we don't want to tell that story. We want to tell a different story. And so in order to do that, I think you have to do it at least until we can make a general case for a television product to show these stories and to tell them accurately. Because I agree with you 100%. There's no way where Carly would have won this show. And she did go through the most of anybody.
You need to know, like, you need to have self-awareness and, like, know, like, what your journey is and, like, how to, like, how to talk about, like, what you're experiencing so that they can still, like, make a TV product out of it. And that's, like, where the difference between, like, the Carly and, like, the Kayla, where, like, Kayla just didn't even, like, get her foot in the door with anyone. So it's like, how are they supposed to make anything interesting from this? Where at least, like, Carly, like, you know, it went poorly and she was able to pivot and, like, talk about, like, you know, what she's learned from her previous relationships and what she was seeing in Chase and all of that. So, yeah. I mean, you should reward that. Like, she still gave you television. She still made herself an entity on this show.
Yeah. And I think she's most likely to leave the show and actually be a different person in the dating world. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Marvin and Melinda are leaving this show together. So unless they break up and then Marvin goes off and, like, maybe he learns things from the relationship, we'll never know if this actually changed Marvin as a person. We'll just know that Marvin found love on the show. Same thing with Cam and Emily. We know that they found love on the show. This is 10 people. Then 5 of them are ineligible because of your sexuality. So you got 5 women and then they all pair off. And then now it's just you and one other option. And then they bring in some sexy decoys. But Carly is the one who's like, she had to grow by herself. She had to grow through two, you know, a failed relationship. And then, like, a new relationship that she's not even sure is a relationship. She's just, like, kind of feeling them out. But her growth is going to be tangible very quickly. Whereas these other two people just have to stay together. That's
that's what I'm saying is, like, it's like you get your sexual stuff out of the way and then you find the person that you're going to, like, continue your journey with on the show. And then at the end, you just say, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? I think I'm falling in love with you. And then everyone stands and you win money. Like,
orgy on the first day. You heard Jenny Autumn say it first.
Okay, I think that we've been talking in circles for a little while, to be honest.
What did you expect?
No, both of you are right, and I agree with you, but I think that we should probably start trying to put this podcast to bed. So at the end of the season, I did try to look up and see if these couples are still together.
And so,
So Cam and Emily are doing some sort of Instagram campaign for Boohoo. So they might be together, or they're just doing it for money. I don't know.
That's the question.
Marv and Melinda are liking each other's posts. They still both follow each other, but we don't have any firm info yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Carly and Joey. Carly's been in Florida a lot lately.
Yes.
So they might still be together, but they don't interact that much on social media yet. So TBD, but they might all be together still.
I would be happy, honestly. Like, I would be most happy for them because I feel like there's the least expectation of the fan base of them being together. And so I feel like, again, I'm so cynical about this shit now. I think that if Carly and Joey are together, then like maybe they actually really do like each other and she's learned something and he's like the right vibe for her. And that That's would perfect. Be great.
No, I love that. We love that.
Okay.
So
that's it. That's another season of Too Hot to Handle.
That's so
dope. Did we miss anything? Is there anything else people want to talk about?
One thing Jessica Lee's pointed out on Twitter is that, did y'all notice the soundtrack is just kind of like whenever there's a random scene of emotion, whatever the song is talking about the emotion in the same exact moment. So you have like Carly, like talking to Joey about their future. And in the background, you have a song like, "It's Your Future."
It's very on the nose.
They're not real songs.
Right? Right. It's so funny. She said it, and I was like, what?
Credit music every single time. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why.
Either of you notice Marvin's Gengar pendant?
Is that what it is? It's Gengar?
Yeah. It's a Gengar.
That's actually kind of live.
Long time for me to realize what it was. And then when I did, I was like, okay, Marvin.
Okay, here's what's upsetting about how good looking Marvin is.
Yeah.
He manages to make a fucking bucket hat that looks like it came from Bass Pro Shops look good. Like, it literally looks like a hunting, like, camo style bucket hat. And I'm like, you know what? That's the look. And I'm into it.
Okay, bucket hats that's unfair. Are very summer 2021. I'm going to get a bucket hat with something ridiculous on it. I'm getting it, and I don't care if it works or not.
I have a rubber duck bucket hat. Actually, it's like the first gift that Phil ever gave me. But I'm just saying, like, just because they're on trend right now doesn't mean that they work on everyone. And
Are you telling me I can't pull off a bucket hat?
No, I'm not saying you can. Because
I'll have my hair and it'll be in two little braids.
No. I think it'll be cute. But I think that, like, almost on, like, on a man, I'm like, And I found myself with Marvin in this fucking camo bucket hat being like, you look slick as hell. Like, what the hell? If I saw that walking through, why am I walking through a Bass Pro Shop? Don't know. But if I saw that, I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
I think the Bass Pro Shop might be a Canadian store also.
No. Well, we got it here.
Okay.
I was making that reference very liberally, like just hoping that it landed.
No. Because I have a hat from Bass Pro Shop that I have my eye on, actually.
It's a bucket hat?
No. It's just like it's like a baseball cap, but it's ironically, you know.
Got him.
I think that's how Marvin got away with it, because you're like, this is not, like, I don't think that Nathan could get away with the camo bucket hat, because you're just like, the cowboy thing.
Like, you live
thing.
In Texas. Like, cut it out.
Like, it's a little too, but I think with Marvin, it's like, you're Parisian, like, you would never, you don't hunt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
they're like, we shoot clay pigeons.
Yeah. All I wanted to add is that the one of the workshop, like, people, Alexandra Roxo, I pegged that girl's fucking sign from the second I saw her.
Oh, all I heard was right. That girl, and my eyebrows went up.
I did not peg her personally.
Woohoo! Janae!
Wait, what? Did they tell us her sign on the show?
No, I Googled her.
Okay, what's her sign?
Janae was like, I know this woman, okay? No, I got it.
Because I purposely Googled her, and I was like, this is a Pisces woman.
I was going to guess Pisces! Yes. Okay.
I was like, Alexander, because we saw her a couple times for the season. And also I spent the whole season being like, these are not these people's jobs. They're actors.
Did they did a freaking Viking funeral for the final activity. They all wrote on a necklace and then they sent it to sea and lit it on fire.
I will say I wrote down all of the words that everyone wrote on the necklaces in my notes, and I have nothing written down for Elle.
Yeah.
Which says so much.
No, Elle wrote down being a user, being used,
yeah.
And one more thing.
I honestly, there was a point where they sped through a few people's because they were telling us these people aren't important.
No, they showed Elle's full one. They showed it, but they did it
faster.
Tabitha wrote down like not selfish,
selfish, harsh, and judgmental. I have nothing written down for Elle because I couldn't type fast enough because they said this girl is not important to this story. And I said, okay.
And she really wasn't. And she's beautiful.
Yeah, it's stunning. Fine.
I wish that Elle had come in sooner.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
they should bring back the newbies for the next season. That's what I'm saying.
But it's frustrating because it's like they bring these people in and like, you know, they even like, With Christina and what's his nuts?
Robert.
Like
nuts.
They brought them in and like they could have had a story, but like I don't know. It's just like frustrating to see them bring in people, and ultimately like our final like our top three people are the people that were there the longest because of course they're gonna have the biggest growth. They've been there the longest.
Yeah.
Like no one who's been there just a little bit long, like has a chance here. So
yeah, that's how I feel about the circle too. That's why I don't watch the circle because like I can't be 4 weeks into this thing and then all of a sudden you bring in a rando and I'm like, now I have to
compete against this person. And I'm supposed to care about this person and like root for them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. That's the season. That's Too Hot to Handle season two. Yeah. That's a wrap.
A finale.
This has been iconic. I'm so happy that both of you came here. Thank you to both of you for joining me.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me come and do whatever I
No, this
did
is
for the
incredible
last.
And iconic and I love it. And I have no notes. And if anyone else has a note, then I can tell them to kindly keep it to themselves. Jenny, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
I'm on social media at Jenny Autumn, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and I'm just preparing myself emotionally and mentally for Big Brother 23 and what that will do to us, because I feel like everyone's feeling very positive. And again, I don't know, maybe my tone has been very cynical, but
you've been pessimistic. Always, can you spell
it? A little
it?
Bit. Yeah. It's weird I'm normally very like optimistic and like rose colored glasses. But I think that like right now I'm just kind of like, I'm just ready for the shoe to drop, you know?
You just watched 10 episodes of The Dregs of Society. It's fine.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Cam, anyway, I know I got to spell pessimistic hit me in my soul because I too.
I mean, honestly, if I had to spell it right now, I would be nervous about how I would do it. And that's fine. And I'm a good speller in general.
I have a degree in English.
Yeah, but like, Chappelle, what does that actually mean?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
So, Chappelle, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Well, you know, I'm not on social media, so I just you can follow me on Twitter.
At 2 a.m. Yes,
probably at 3 or 4 in the morning, depending on what coast you're on. But yeah, I'm on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. That's CHAPPELLS_show, where I'm probably tweeting random things and arguing with people sometimes. But I too am ready for Big Brother, so I think you can look for me and Jenny and Kirsten all in the upcoming weeks talking about this new season. So yeah, yes. That's where you can find me.
And you still have the rewind going, right?
Oh yes, I forgot about this thing that I do every week. Yes, it's it's July on the Reality TV Rewind, on the RRJP Rewind. So we are talking about the Joe shows this month.
Yes,
Average Joe, Joe Schmo, and Joe Millionaire are coming up. Okay. In whatever order, I don't really know. And so, check that out too. But otherwise, no, I'm just hanging out, waiting on Jenny and Kirsten to call me.
What a dream. Oh my
God.
I
will call you. I have nothing to call you for. Like, I just want to call you to talk to you. Is that okay?
Yeah,
let's
he'll
do
answer.
It.
He'll
okay. answer. Let's do it.
And if people are not yet sick of me, you can follow me on social media at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. Love Island is coming back this week, and Brian Scally and I will be back breaking it all down. It's snap, snap. Because we're all in a snap, 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 snap. As well as, of course, Big Brother, keep an eye out for all of us on the Rehab Up feed. Of course, it is the start of a new month, so it's a great time to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. You can find out more information at robhasawebsite.com/patron, but there are a lot more patron-exclusive shows coming up, so highly recommend you check that out. But until next season of Too Hot to Handle, goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.